This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
All right, welcome back to Long Shots. We're back. I guess I should put it like that. Not welcome back. We're back. Wes Reynolds, Kelly Bidlin here. No Matt Brown today. He's busy doing Survivor documentary stuff, and that's all good. We wanted to check in, as we have been there, during the fall from time to time. We'll be here. We got a couple events to talk about this week, though, Wes. We're going out to Bermuda for the PGA Tour, and then we got the DP World Tour Championship. So with both events going on, we wanted to fire up a pod this week. We'll be back next week as well. And then we'll probably be shutting it down for the rest of the season. But Wes, spent a little while, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Kelly. How are you?
I'm doing good. I guess it's worth a couple minutes to talk about how the PGA Tour fall swing golf betting has been going for us. For me, it's been very lightly bets. I can tell you that. We talk through this, I feel like, every fall, especially me and you. Past couple years, we've done these fall events together. Look, it's very much just betting a few outrights, covering it with a little bit of top five money. I'm not really doing much more than that this time of year. I've gotten close with a couple. I had Matty Schmidt in the mix last week, but he couldn't get it home for me. I don't know about you. Other than that, I have not hit an outright yet, so that means I'm due. I don't know about you.
Yeah, nothing for me either. I had Nikolai Højgaard, who missed one shot out of the playoff last week there in Abu Dhabi, which Aaron Rye defeated Tommy Fleetwood, by the way, to win that Abu Dhabi championship. Nikolai Højgaard, T3, along with Rory McIlroy, who finished with the final round 62. But yeah, this week, last event of the DP World Tour schedule, they do like basically two playoff events, the Abu Dhabi event, and then this week at Dubai at the Emirates, the Earf course at the Emirates. So this is the conclusion of the race to Dubai this week, by the way, where Rory leads by about a little less than 800 points over Marco Penge and 1700 over Tyrrell Hatton. Only one of those three can win the overall race to Dubai title, but do have an event, a lot of money on the line. So a lot of big names actually over in this event in Dubai this week.
Yeah, absolutely. And we usually, even when we do multiple tours, we usually always start with the PGA Tour, just because we're selfish and that's what we usually bet more of than the DP World Tour. But Wes is all around the world. We go around the world with Wes Reynolds. We are going to start with the DP World Tour Championship. And for everybody out there watching, listening, you have the odds up. I am prepared to learn a lot about this event, as I do every year with Wes too, as he explains it to me. But we have Rory 4-1 to win, Tommy Fleetwood +550, Bobby Mack 12-1, Ludvig Åberg 12-1, Tyrrell Hatton and Matt Fitzpatrick 14-1. Everybody else 20-1 or longer. So Wes, we were talking a little bit about this before we hit record. Similar to what people have experienced during the PGA Tour playoffs, the Tour Championship, this is a similar setup to that this week, correct?
It is, relatively speaking, and the odds you listed, of course, are to win the event, not to necessarily win the race to Dubai, so you don't have that confusing market like you used to have to win the FedEx Cup or to win the BMW Championship or whatever the event was. So those are the odds, but like I mentioned, just three guys can win the overall race to Dubai title, which is the Harry Barton Trophy. For basically the player of the year on the DP World Tour, and the race to Dubai winner gets that. So that's either going to be Rory, Penge, or Tyrrell Hatton. But 50 players in this field, the top 50 in the race to Dubai ranking. So they're playing for obviously the prize, substantial prize pool that's available to them this week. But you also have the top 10 in the race to Dubai rankings that are otherwise not exempt. Earn PGA Tour cards for the 2026 season at the end of this event. So, like, the top 10 right now, you might not be familiar with these names. You might be if you're a regular listener to this podcast. Marco Pingy, Christopher Reitan, Adrian Sadier, John Perry, Alex Noren, Lori Cantor, Halton Lee, Daniel Brown, Keita Nakajima, Jordan Smith are the current top 10. Now, there are people outside the top 10, more on that later, that can play their way in, but that list is not for the Rorys and the Tommy Fleetwoods and the Ludvig Åbergs and the Højgaards, who are already full members of the PGA Tour. So these are guys that are the DP World Tour regulars that are trying to play their way for PGA Tour cards, and the top 10 get them.
Okay, I like it. So we're gonna make this pretty quick. We'll cover both tours. So this is the list, right? The Race to Dubai standings, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have this up right, Wes? Okay.
Yeah. And you see, if you're watching the video, what I just mentioned, those PGA Tour logos, that's gonna indicate who right now would get those cards for next year. So I just read the names off. So Panji Raitan, Sadie Berry, and then if you went downwards, you could see because the guys that don't have the PGA Tour logos are already members of the tour. Rory, Aaron Rye, Tommy Fleetwood. And then, like, you go under Jordan Smith, Martin Kuvra, Daniel Hillier, Rasmus Nyegaard Pedersen, all kind of in the mix for these spots. And you get full membership, too, on the PGA Tour as well. So that's how, like, the Højgaards and the Tjørborg Olesens and those guys, Victor Perez, that's how they got on the PGA Tour, is to qualify off this list.
Okay, gotcha. I like it. All right, well, let's start first with we'll do it like we normally do. What are you looking at for the course? What are you kind of factoring in for this week's event specifically? And then let's get to the bets.
Yeah, 7,700 yards, 7,706 here at the Irf course in Dubai at the Jumeirah Golf Estates. And you have a couple big par fives that measure over 625. So it is a long course, but it's large greens, Bermuda grass, 12.5 on the stint meter. You got water in play on the final three holes, which makes usually for an exciting finish at this event. A lot of bunkers, but mostly in the fairways, not necessarily around the greens. It's a long course, but you can score here. But, you know, being long off the tee never hurts. Got to be good with long irons, of course. If you look at the previous winners of this event, it's pretty much class guys. Like Rory has won here three times. He's a defending champion. Nikolai Højgaard, who I hit here 2 years ago, won in 2023. John Rahm, two-time winner here. Colin Morikawa, winner here. Matt Fitzpatrick, two-time winner here. Danny Willett, former Masters champion, winner here. Henrik Stenson went back-to-back in 13 and 14. So those are all major champion golfers, with the exception of Højgaard, that have won this thing. So usually you can't go too far necessarily down the board. You've had a couple longer prices here, but you've had a lot of Rory 5-1, Rahm 5-1, Fitz was 7-1 1 year. So that's why I really didn't go too far down the board this week. And consistent form, you know, repeat winners here. There have been four repeat winners here in 16 tournaments. I mentioned them all. Stenson, McIlroy, Rahm, Fitzpatrick. Each winner had a top seven finish in at least one of his previous six starts. So got to be in pretty good form. So this isn't something where I really went bomb hunting this week.
Yeah, Ellie. I think that makes sense. So Rory, the short shot, how are you handling, I guess, the guys that are in the race to win the challenge? Is that being handled differently? Are you betting those guys? Either there's going to be more, are they going to be overbet this week? Yeah, I guess that's
you mean you mean like to clinch the cards?
Yeah.
There's a couple of them I did bet actually for that angle, and then a couple guys that, you know, they're just good on this course. You know, some good form guys that I bet. So, you know, just happened to land on them. I didn't put too much weight necessarily into that, but that certainly will be, if you're up in the middle of the night, you know, kind of fun to monitor, because I'm sure that coverage on the DP World Tour coverage that's on golf is going to be looking at, okay, he is ninth right now. You know, kind of what they do, like, to get in the top 30 for the tour championship for the FedEx Cup points.
Right.
So
yeah,
that's what they're going to be doing. They're going to be following this, but you're going to see a lot of the big guns in contention. And I, by the way, did not play like a couple of the really top guys. So I don't have Rory on the card. I don't have Tommy Fleetwood on the card. I don't have Ludvig on the card. By the way, Rahm not participating here, nor is Victor Hovland. I believe he had some surgery here in the offseason. But you still got big names. You still got Tyrrell Hatton, and you still got Fitzpatrick and Robert McIntyre. Yeah, sure. So you're going to have some class guys up there that you got to dodge. And hopefully I'll dodge them with my card.
All right, I like it. So who did you land on?
Well, instead of picking a Højgaard, this is a running joke with Dave Ross, our colleague.
Oh, yeah.
Instead
he always
of picking
picks the
a
wrong
Højgaard,
yeah.
I picked them both this week. So let's start here at 20-1 with Nikolai, who I had last week, finished T3 at Abu Dhabi. I had him here 2 years ago when he shot that 64 on Sunday and actually overtook Rory to win what is to date the biggest event of his career. He's been very good with the irons this year, 11th on approach, 15th on greens and regulation on the PGA Tour, also on the DP World Tour for the DP events, which include the sanctioned events like majors as well. Leads for driving distance and is also 10th for strokes gained off the tee. So Nikolai Højgaard at 20, and then Rasmus Højgaard at 22-1. He was actually the runner-up to Rory here last year. So he seems to have found some form late summer, had a runner-up in Denmark, his native Denmark, also a runner-up at Switzerland at the Omega European Masters over there in the Alps. Hopefully we make that trip one day. And then T3.
We've been playing it for a couple of years. I know. We've been playing it for a couple of years.
We can't be talking about it. We got to be about it. But we got to be about our bank account to go over there.
That's
too.
Right,
T3 at the Sanderson Farms last month was Rasmus. Off the tee, excellent. Fifth off the tee, sixth for driving distance. In addition, he's 10th for putting. And it was second in the field last week with Abu Dhabi with the putter on kind of those undulating greens. So I think he might like these ones better. So Rasmus at 22-1. And then Marco Penge at 22-1, who probably of the DP World Tour regulars, although Chris Reitan from Norway has certainly a claim to this, has been the best player on the DP World Tour. Number one in the spot. He's going to have his PGA Tour card, by the way. It's already clinched for next year. However, if he remains in the number one spot on that list, he gets entry in the first two signature events, which is AT&T Pebble Beach and the Genesis, which is hopefully back at Riviera. And then he gets in the Players. He is a top 30 in the world, by the way, in the world golf rankings. He's probably the guy, if you scroll down that rankings, you're like, who's this guy? And you've never heard of him, but he's been great on the DP this year. 63 to close out in Abu Dhabi last week, ended up ninth. He's won three times on the DP World Tour this season, maybe makes it number four this week. And I also mentioned, you know, taking both Højgaards. Let's take both Rasmuses as well for good measure. Rasmus Nygaard-Petersen at 40-1, who won three times on the DP World Tour last season, but hasn't won yet this year, even though he's got four top fives. He is right now one of those guys on the outside looking in for a PGA Tour card. I think he's 12th. If he finishes top five or better, that's going to get the job done, and he's going to be one of the 10 that'll be on the PGA Tour next year. So both brothers Højgaard, 20 and 22-1 respectively. Marco Penge, 22-1. Rasmus Nygaard-Petersen, 40-1.
Okay, I like it. There you go. DP World Tour Championship going on this week. Wes Reynolds breaking it down as always. Also head over to VSiN.com. Wes has got write-ups as he always does for both events this week, the DP World Tour Championship. I was checking it out a little bit before we were recording. And then also we will have the Bermuda Championship as we transition over to the PGA Tour. Wes, this is one of these events. Oh my God, it might be my worst betting event every single year when we talk about Bermuda, because is there another tournament that we see on an annual basis that it feels it's left in the hand of the weather gods, it feels like, because that wind, we often talk and warn about wind, whether it's football, but especially golf. And hey, we want to monitor what the weather's like. They're playing on an island of the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. There's a lot of wind constantly. This is they're blowing golf balls around all the time. Feels like my guys constantly get the worst of it, whoever I bet here. But a fun event, a gorgeous golf course. I'm glad they've made it a regular part of the tour, because it is fun to see the gorgeous course. And honestly, we pick things up way earlier than usual because it is so far east when it comes to tee times. So we will head to Port Royal Golf Course for the Bermuda Championship. And if you are familiar with this event, it's same old event. It's back, and it is a permanent part of the PGA Tour rotation now. It will be the shortest course that we will see all year on the PGA Tour. You've got, it's a par 71, a little over 6,800 yards. You've got about four holes where there's true water danger that come into play. 87 bunkers scattered throughout. It is Bermuda everywhere. Greens, fairways, in the rough. That's what we're talking about. Massive greens. It's another fall event with absolutely ginormous greens, 8,000 square feet. So something to keep in mind. We'll go to pull up the odds for Bermuda, and you're going to see some names that may be a little surprising to you if you haven't been watching a lot of fall golf. If you have been watching fall golf, probably makes sense. Rico Hoey, who you have probably heard mentioned on this podcast if you're a regular listener, more than anywhere else in the world, I'm going to guess. He is your favorite, though, this week at 18-1 currently over at DraftKings. Kevin Yu, 20-1. Thorborn Ullison, 22-1. Pearson Cootie, 25-1, who I got really excited to bet Wes until I saw his odds. Nico Echevarria, 28-1. Matty Schmidt, 30-1. Everybody else, 35-1 or longer. I feel like you have had more success at this event in the past than I have. I could be wrong in remembering that, but I feel like you've hit one or two here over the years. Am I making that up?
Yeah, I think I got one a few years ago. I think it was Brendan Todd who I might have gotten at this event.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. It's been a few years, but yeah, you mentioned those guys, Kelly, and like they probably, based on who they are, should be the favorites in this event. But you look at the prices on some of these players, it's like, can you really bet Pearson Cootie at 25-1?
No. I could not, Wes. And when I was doing my handicapping, I was so sure I was going to be betting him until I pulled up odds. And this is where, like, if you're a golf, if you just like listen to golf podcasts and this is one that you consume, thank you. Hey, thank you to everybody for listening. But this is where the odds come into play, right? You cannot. It is very, as much as we've loved betting Rico Hoey, it's really hard when the guy can't putt. Like, I mean, he might as well be putting with one arm seemingly out there. It's really hard for me, even with him, to go to 18-1 to lay that kind of price.
And this isn't like last week either. Like last week, the favorites at the Worldwide Technology Championship down there in Cabo San Lucas, like Ben Griffin was the favorite. Right. JJ Spahn was right behind him. But those two guys were on the Ryder Cup team. JJ Spahn won the U.S. Open. By the way, Ben Griffin ends up winning last week as the 12-1 pre-tournament favorite by two shots. So he now has three wins on the PGA Tour. That's going to get largely ignored because of what Scotty did and what Rory has done. But Ben Griffin had a monster year. So
huge year.
Shout out to him. He wins by two over Chad Ramey and Sammy Valimaki. Garrett Higo, Trevor Cohn, by the way, rounded out that top five. So you don't have, but next week at the RSM, I don't have the field in front of me, some early commits, but a lot of guys live in that area. So you may get like some class players, or at least somewhat below the top class. You know, you're not going to get Scotty or Xander Schauffele or anybody like that. But next week you might get the Russell Henleys or the Ben Griffins or some of those guys that are maybe top 20 players. So you'll have like legitimate favorites, but you don't have it this week because you've got a lot of guys that A, are knocking on the door for wins, trying to get wins, but also guys that are trying to get into the top 100.
Yeah,
this is a layered system, and I'll explain it very briefly. This FedEx Cup fall, the guys that were in the top 50 remained. They can't gain any points. Like Ben Griffin was easily in the top 50. He was actually in the top 30. He didn't gain any FedEx Cup points, but he was just there and he got a win and got a lot of money out of the deal. So it was worth it to go south of the border. But there's a couple different layers here. You get 51 to 60. Are part of that Aon Next 10. So that means you get into the Genesis and you get into the AT&T at Pebble Beach to start the year. So you get into
Which
those signature
massive.
Events.
Sorry,
absolutely.
But I'll keep saying that it is massive for both points and, more importantly, money. A ton of money on the line.
So like when I was looking at the FedEx Cup standings, which I know they're still being updated. You can get them at pgatour.com. Those guys that are like 51 to 60, you know, that are trying to play their way in like a, you know, like Grazerman's in there right now. Aaron Rye, Rico is in there right now. But some of those guys like Rico and Kevin Yu, they're trying to protect that spot. And then after that, the top 100, by the way, it's the top 100 that get PGA Tour cards for next year. And they get the full cards, you know, so they get the full status. So that means they get in most of the events. And you know, if they even, they might not be in the signatures, but they get in most regular PGA Tour events. And then 101 to 125 is conditional status. So those are going to be the bubble guys that are kind of going to be waiting to see, hey, do I get into the field or do I not? So you're not going to get in some of maybe the stronger fields when you're in that position. So these points still matter. And the field, like we were saying, you know, not exactly top heavy.
Right.
But it still matters. Absolutely matters for these guys. So this week and then the RSM at Sea Island.
Yeah, and if you're watching at home, I mean, yeah, you'll see. But David Lipsky, right? Victor Perez, Patrick Fishburne, a lot of these guys are taking part this week that are right
couple
there.
Couple of the guys, I think, like
in.
not to interrupt, but a couple of the guys, because you'll see Adam Scott there. I think Adam Scott gets like an exemption. Some of these guys that have been out there a long time get like a money list exemption.
Right.
So the urgent. So that's why you're not seeing like Adam Scott play this week.
Old man vet exemption. Yep,
yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. Like one that I bet actually has one too, but he's still trying his ass off to try to get into the top 100 so he doesn't have to burn it because he's getting up there in years. So I'll get to that when we get to our selections.
Oh, I think we're on the same guy. I actually think we're on the same guy. I caught your article earlier. So, yeah, we'll be the actually, maybe that's what we'll start with. But the this might be unfair to ask you right now, but Tom Kim, what the hell would his status be? Would he be in the Ricky Fowler situation from a year ago?
Like, where
he'd be sponsor invited to like every event?
It could be. I don't know if he has like, I don't have the medical extensions in front of me.
Oh,
so some
point,
of these guys maybe could have like medical extensions. And then Tom Kim, I believe, because I was trying to find the last time he won, because I think that winner's exemption might be up, because last time he won the Shriners in October 2023, so that 2 year would be up. But so I don't know the full status of that, but he hasn't been in these fields. So maybe there's an injury extension. You know, I know that gets updated on PGAtour.com. I think Rob Bolton, at Rob Bolton Golf, by the way, on X, is always on top of that. Like, when is their exemption up for the medical extension? How long do their exemptions last for winning an event? So that's something to follow if you're ever in doubt. And I think he puts that on PGAtour.com.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's start with the course and kind of what stats we looked at. And how we kind of ended up handicapping this thing. For me, it's a lot of heavy approach stuff here. The wind is absolutely something to monitor. I think if you can make bets later, but as close to the event as possible, just to monitor if there is any type of advantage kind of going earlier or later, go for it. But don't beat yourself up if you can't. This is an event that everybody's going to have to deal with wind the whole week. Mm-hmm. So, I would couch it like that. Is that fair, Wes? I think if you can wait till late, good. But every golfer out there is going to be affected by this.
It is. And then you mentioned some of the numbers on the course. Par 71, 68, 28. Half the course is actually played away from the coast, and half of it is played right there at Seaside. You mentioned all Bermuda, big greens. Fairway's a little bit narrowish, but not really penal rough. If you're looking for comparable courses, by the way, like, where they used to play Mayakoba at El Camaleon or the Plantation course at Kapalua, very similar, I think, if you want to look at that. But you did mention the weather before we get into the stats. The scoring might not be as low as it usually is, because I was looking courtesy of our friends at AccuWeather.
What are we, windier than normal, Wes?
Yeah,
I saw
about,
we were looking at like
25
or 20
miles an hour on average.
Yeah.
So you are going to get some gusts. The temperatures are high, you know, low 70s, mid 70s. So it's going to be, you know, sunny or at least partly cloudy. Should be soft because they got a lot of rain, because they had not one but two hurricanes down there in Bermuda in this fall, Imelda and Melissa. So probably going to be soft, you know, because it's received a lot of rain. Calm conditions, you're usually getting like mid-20s under par. You might get mid to high teens this week. Who knows? I'm bad at projecting like what the final score is going to be, and then all of a sudden
again, it's
30
it's
under.
An island. All this stuff could easily change, right?
Yeah.
It could feel worse than even what we're seeing,
But it is going to be windy this week. So you will want to certainly take that into account. These are not going to be the calm, benign conditions we saw on a very easy course at El Cardinal at Diamante last week. That's a Tiger Woods design, by the way. 29 under was the winner. So, yeah, they put nice, big, fat, wide fairways there. They were some of the biggest fairways you could get.
It's crazy.
And Ben Griffin ends up on top.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I just quickly, I guess we'll go through kind of what I looked at. It was heavy approach stuff for me. This is, heavy wedges, right? You're getting about upwards of 60% of your approach shots are going to come under 150 yards here. So really, I dialed out some proximity buckets. Really 75 to 125 is kind of where I focused. I think you want to be careful going, if you are doing some of the stuff at home, waiting too much into these buckets. But I thought that range was important. I also did, you've heard me bring this up if you listen to this podcast long enough, I'll do this fairly often when we get some long par threes. Because there are some par fives, where you're going to need some longer approach shots. And then the par threes, where we have a few that are over 200 yards here. All I did, Wes, is I kind of went to proximity 200 plus as well. So I looked very short range and I looked very long range to kind of help encompass and take into account those long par threes. I did that. I did opportunities gained. Thought that was important. That really is an approach stat, sets you up for a look at a birdie with big greens. I always usually like to plug that in where we're really taking, you're looking for pin seekers out there, right? Guys that are in there with their approach player are going to put this close, go up there and not get a putt. And then with big greens, we talk about this often, but either three putt avoidance, bogey avoidance, I think is something you need to factor in. Just of the, you don't need someone putting it all around these greens five times before they get it close to the hole. And then look, Bermuda putters, right? This whole course is Bermuda. Kind of look back historically who just does well on these traditionally. And this is a much longer, I like to talk about the date ranges too in last rounds that we're looking at. When we're in the fall, if there's guys playing every week, absolutely, I'm looking at what they're doing. That doesn't mean I'm not taking into account or considering somebody who hasn't played recently, but that's where I like to take a longer range step back look at kind of what are these guys, what are they traditionally done, especially when it comes to like putting on Bermuda surfaces. Are they better or are they worse? You know, they have guys like, I know we're going to mention them. Me and Wes are both on Matt Kuchar. I'll bring it up already, but he's one of the best Bermuda putters that we have in the field this week. And guy that obviously has a ton of experience on all surfaces, but he's one of the best in this field on Bermuda. So, that's kind of what I looked at. Anything else that you did differently a little bit than that?
I started with approach because number one, approach is always important, but you're also going to be hitting into the wind on some of these holes. So even with the shorter distances, you know, and these wedge fests and those wedge buckets are anywhere like 70, 75 to 150 or maybe right. Even out to 175, but not going to be that easy when you're hitting into the wind. But when you look at the previous winners of these events, and keep in mind, these are never, it's never really the strongest field at the Butterfield Bermuda Championship, but a lot of these guys are pretty short hitters off the tee, like Brendan Todd, Brian Gay, Camilo Villegas, Rafael Campos, who won this thing at 300-1 last year to basically keep his card. So in terms of like off the tee, I didn't weigh as much, but I did look at accuracy a little bit, even though the rough isn't penal. Yeah. You're going to miss fairways here due to the winds kind of getting you offline. And then there are bunkers in the cross landing zone. So I did look at accuracy. You could probably look at good drives gain too. There's some overlap, I think, with those two categories. Yeah. But I did a lot more. And I also did windy conditions, if you could find that at some of the, you know, various stat databases that we use that we have mentioned mm-hmm. on this program in the past. So strokes gain total, higher windy conditions. I did a lot more around the green, or actually green type stuff, not necessarily around the green, but a lot more putting stuff than I probably would have. 100% Bermuda grass, because we are in Bermuda after all. So strokes gained putting on Bermuda. I did that. I also did three putt. And the reason why I did that, because the average green size is like over 8,000 square feet.
Right.
So
yes. Yeah.
You're going to have some more three putts than you will have usually on higher than tour average. So avoiding those three putts, also a little bit of bogey avoidance, because the windy conditions, it doesn't just affect your drives and your approaches. It also affects your putts because it slows down the green. So, you know, what did I put as I think the official stint meter here is like 10 and a half. These are going to roll. If these winds really howl,
yeah,
these putts are going to crawl. So you're going to see like maybe 9 or 9.5 on the stint meter with some of these putts. So these are going to be slower than molasses. And, you know, guys are usually putting on 11.5, 12, 12.5, or even faster greens. And these slower greens, you know, kind of equalize it, which is, I don't know if maybe that's why the international players have done well in recent years, because Campos, Puerto Rico, Camilo, Colombia, Seamus Power from Ireland, the Lucas Herbert from Australia. So the last four have been international players, and maybe because they're used to the slower greens, that's why that is. I don't know. That might be a reach, but you are going to have to certainly consider that. But that's basically all I did. I didn't really go all that knee deep in the weeds here, just because it's such a wide open event.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think you want to be careful with that this time of year anyways, too. I mean, this is the end, really, of when these guys have played. Well, next week, I guess, would be the end. Really, when these guys would play consecutive events week over week. So even if you're pulling recent data, it's just tough to compare that with some of the guys that haven't played. I think this is not one you want to model yourself out of this event. I'll go right to my bets. I'll bring up one guy that I kind of use that example with, Sahith Theegala. We have documented over the past years all the problems that he's had. Wes, he's quietly put together a few pretty decent starts. It's T27, T27, T38 in the fall here. I'm not saying we're all the way back, but we went through this field. We looked at the odds with some of the names that you're seeing at the top. Rico Hoey's, 17-1 or 18-1, wherever he's going to be at. 18-1 right now over at DraftKings, wherever you're going to find him at, that's your favorite in this event. I think that's a beatable top of the board, as we kind of already talked about. So Theegala, he struggled all of last year. I am not writing him off. Like, his career is over, though, by any means. We see these guys have these dips all the time, and it frankly was just good to see him gain in strokes gained total just over three straight events and have those types of finishes. So at 40-1, good enough of a price point for me to jump in on Sahith Theegala. So he's one of those guys where I didn't really use much recent form data. Yeah, it's nice to see him gain, but it's not like he was near the top of my models or anything. I'm just really comparing price to where he's showing up. And a little bit of faith is probably the most class player in this field. I think a lot of people would say, I'll say that at least. So I am on Theegala. The shortest shot I played was Matty Schmidt. I got him at 30-1. I'm rolling him back. I played him last week. He finished third here 2 years ago. T8 is where he finished last week in the Worldwide Technologies event we were talking about before. He's a guy you and I, all three of us, have bet a lot. Seemingly on this podcast, just one of the better putters in the world. And when you have that strength where you know there's going to be a lot of low scores coming out, it's always something that you're looking for. He's not exactly great in the proximity ranges that I was looking at, but elite birdie maker, elite, and because of that putter is where he strikes out. So I'm going back with him. He's been in good shape here recently and has played well at this event. Grayson Sigg, I played at 60-1. Real small bet on Sigg. I'm not really sure I'm completely buying in here, but he's got good history at this event. T9, T11, and T22 here the last 3 years. And he's gained in five straight events going back into the fall. So great approach numbers coming in the fall too. I think this is a little bit of a reach, but at 60-1, I'm okay playing him. And then the one guy that you and I share, unless I missed one of these others that you have as well. But Matt Kuchar, we already brought him up already. I'm playing old man Kuch. This would be a fun one, Wes. Hopefully he tips when he wins. You know, that would be good to see. But the old man Kuchar, we'll roll him back out. Man, he's been absolute shit off the tee. I don't know how much that's going to matter here, though, Wes, right? Where he's still gained in five straight events overall, and that's been with losing off of the tee. We talked about how short of a course this is, though. I think that helps him considerably. And his last three events, it's been T11, T18, and T13, and the putter's been hot. So Kuchar's found something here in the fall. Hoping we're rolling to Bermuda and we can get a stick the landing here. I've took 35-1 on him as an outright. So just to recap real quick, I'm in on Matty Schmidt, Matt Kuchar, Sahith Theegala, and Grayson Sigg. That's my whole card. We'll not be expanding too much beyond that.
Sahith and Sigg were considers for me as well. But we've already got two tournaments this week. I don't know if anybody's put a prop up on what Caitlin Clark is going to shoot at the Annika Pro-Am tomorrow, because she is in that field, of course, Gainbridge, and that's Caitlin's one of big endorsers. But I'm sure that'll be all over the Golf Channel. Like, that was a big deal last year when she first played that. So Clark Mania might get some coverage on Wednesday at the Pro-Am, playing with her pal Nelly Korda tomorrow. But no bets on that for me, so let's get to the Bermuda card.
In case you're not watching at home, or in case you've never heard of any Wes Reynolds content, yes, he is from Indiana. I know that was
shocking. Yes, you can see it right there. Our 10-0 Indiana Hoosiers right now, as they are number two in the college football playoff. Two more to go before we may go back home to Indy and have to face those Buckeyes in the Big Ten championship. But that team's given me a little bit of life, even though I almost had a heart attack watching him against Penn State. But and Gus Johnson's screaming didn't certainly help because I was like, oh, my God.
Alexander was not very happy about that.
I thought it was the big one. I thought it was the big one. I was like, oh, my God. You know, why didn't I have my headphones in listening to Don Fisher, our voice of the Hoosiers? But anyway, I digress. Go Hoosiers. Let's go 11-0 this weekend. Vince Whaley starts out my card this week, 35-36-1. And he's a form guy, and sometimes form guys don't work out. But in an event like this, it could. 7th, 8th, and 5th. His last three starts here at Bermuda for Vince Whaley.
Damn.
Two top fives this season. Both of them were in weaker fields. Third at the Sanderson Farms, 4th at the ISCO down at Kentucky. He's 86, actually, in the FedEx Cup standing. So he's going to get his card. And one of the reasons he's going to get his card is because he makes cuts, and he's made 17 of them in a row. So the pressure is off. Like, he's going to be back on the tour next year. Now it's about getting that first tour victory. And this looks like a pretty good place to get it, considering his recent form. And then more on Kuchar, who we are both on. Kuchar, by the way, is 110 in the FedEx Cup right now. Yep. Now, he's one of those players that can use that lifetime money exemption. But, you know, he's been playing a lot of golf, so that tells me he doesn't want to use it. Like, he wants to get his way back out on the tour, and he's 47 years old, so he doesn't have a lot more seasons. But we've seen these older guys play well. We've seen these older guys win this event. Brian Gay won this thing a few years ago, just a couple years before he turned 50. Stuart Sink. You know, some of these guys play well in their late 40s and approaching 50. 11th last week in Mexico, 18th and 13th before that. He's won on similar courses, too. Keep in mind, this guy's won the RBC Heritage at Arbortown. He's won at El Camaleon, which is the old Mayakoba Golf Classic. He's won at Wailea, which is where the Sony Open in Hawaii is. So he should like Port Royal, short coastal course. So Kuchar, 40-1. Victor Perez, 45-1, who's currently at 104 in the FedEx Cup standings. You were going to play him?
I got close. I've played him a couple times this fall, though, and I'm like, he's one of these guys that he always rates out too high for me, Wes. I should just know to stay away. Yeah, he's got me buy in a couple times this fall.
Well, a tiebreaker, and I'll give him a shout because it kind of turned me on to this. Dave Tindall over at Betfair, who has been a guest in previous incarnations of Long Shots, talking Open Championship, does a really good job. He kind of pointed me to this a little bit. Because of the wind, you want some low ball hitters. Like, you don't want the, you know, like all the bombers, like the Rorys and the Aldrich Potgieters are huge high ball flight.
Yeah.
But these guys are lower ball hitters like Victor Perez. So I didn't model that. But if you look, I'm trying to remember what the stat was. I think it was like apex in
height,
terms of flight height. And you can find that actually on PGAtour.com. Victor Perez is on the lower end. And I think he should play well in these windy conditions. We've seen the internationals do well here lately. He's 104, by the way. And it just takes one finish, even if you don't win, but you finish like top three, top four. Like last week, for example, in Mexico, Ramey and Valimaki locked up their tour cards, basically, by finishing co-runner-up. So somebody's going to do that. So somebody's going to play their way in this week. Maybe it's Perez. A guy I had last week who got off to a really good start, and then the putter went cold on the weekend, Justin Lauer at 70-1. Last four times here at the Bermuda Championship, 17th, 8th, 20th, and 5th. So he likes the course, and he's also 108 in the FedEx Cup standings. And by the way, not that, you know, pass is going to be prologue necessarily here, but the RSM Classic is next week in Georgia, and he's missed the cut there all four times. That's your last chance to get into the top 100. So this is kind of like, this is boom or bust this week for Lauer.
Right.
I want to lock this up here, so I don't want to have to mess around in that last event where I've never played well. Justin Lauer, 70-1. Couple triple-digit guys. Andrew Putnam, I'm surprised he was that high at 110-1. Maybe the form.
Yeah, that is interesting.
The form was not great, but he's really good on these type of courses. He was once runner-up to Kuchar in Hawaii at that Sony Open, runner-up in Memphis at Southwind, which is a short par 70, third at Colonial, winner in Panama on the web.com tour in 2017. So very familiar with these, you know, coastal courses where you get wind off a lot of water. So Putnam 110, and then Adam Svensson 150-1, another low ball hitter who is 163rd in the FedEx Cup. So he's probably only playing for conditional status unless he wins.
Where's he been? Jesus.
Yeah. Because remember, he won 3 years ago at the RSM Classic in Sea Island, which is another short coastal course, won in the Bahamas on the Corn Ferry. So you would think this would be a good setup for him. But yeah, he has not had a good year. T21 last week in Mexico, but he was second for greens in regulation. So the ball striking was pretty darn solid. But yeah, I took a shot with him. But other guys that kind of did pop a little bit on the stats, of course, the obvious ones like Rico Hoey, I think was up there for me. Considered Ben Coles, Antoine Rosner, who was up there for me a little bit. Nico Echeverria. So those guys did. Jeremy Paul was another one I considered. So those guys did kind of pop for me, but you know, keeping it light, I'm betting small because I'm assuming I'm not going to win these because obviously we're in the part of football season with basketball now in full swing. Tough to find the time. This isn't like the spring where we're going to comb over these for hours and hours and hours on those bigger events.
Well, I think it's a combination of things, right? I think it's a little bit of that, but that's almost more reactionary, in my opinion, to what they're – you're just not seeing full field events every single week that we can draw data off of, right? That's more the issue, I think, for us golf bettors. But, yeah. All right, cool. So Bermuda Championship. I'll just roll through all the bets again one more time, Wes. So Bermuda, we'll do those quick. For me, Matty Schmid, Matt Kuchar, Sahith Gala, Grayson Sigg, you're on Kuchar, and who else again? Vince Whaley?
Vincent Whaley, Victor Perez, Justin Lauer, Andrew Putnam, Adam Svensson.
Okay, and over at the DP World Tour, Wes Reynolds has whom?
The brothers Højgaard, Nikolai and Rasmus, who are both around the same price.
Just bet Marco them both, Dave. Just bet them both.
Yeah, absolutely. Cover your ass here. You know, you got to have the Højgaard insurance. Marco Penge and also a Rasmus insurance. Take both the Rasmuses, Højgaard and Rasmus Nygaard Pedersen this week.
All right, I like it. Okay, so that's going to do it here for this week's Long Shots. We'll be back next week for the RSM. We appreciate you guys. If you are watching on YouTube, hit the subscribe, hit the notifications button. You'll get notified, obviously, when we drop a new podcast. We'll be doing that next week for the RSM. We'll get Matt Brown back next week. Make sure all three of us are here for the last episode of the season. For Wes, I am Kelly Bidlin. Thank you for hanging out, and we will talk to you soon. Good luck with all the bets.